This is a production of the Z-Talk Radio Network. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Z-Talk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Wow. It's dark. Well, let's have some light on the subject.
Put on your critical thinking cap and please refrain from hugging. It's time for Dimland Radio with your host, Jim, Dr. Jim Fitzsimmons.
Hello and welcome to Dimland Radio here on the Z-Talk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim, Dr. Jim Fitzsimmons. Remember, I'm not really a doctor. I just play doctor online. And so, before I get rolling into what I prepared for the show, I saw this happen this morning, and I had to old man yells at clouds about it. And actually, I think you would be in agreement with me on this. This isn't quite as extreme as old man yells at clouds. But got up this morning. Was gonna walk. Was walking our dog Edna. And head down the alley behind our house, getting to the end of that alley, and I hear a car coming up the street, and I can see the car coming, and it's okay. Edna and I stop, and there's an older woman driving the car. She's got the window down, she's got her arm out the window, and she's slowing down, and she's going to turn into the driveway that's just beyond the alley. There's a house that's right on the other side of the alley, and their driveway to it is just beyond the alley. And so she's just going to turn into that alley, or into the driveway. And she extends her arm and drops something on the ground and drives into the alley. And the thing she dropped on the ground was a little bit of trash. It was a crumpled up napkin or paper towel. I saw that and I thought, seriously? That's your house, right there. You are feet away from your house. I presume you have trash cans in your house. Why not just bring it in with you and throw it in the trash in your house? Hey, you might even have a trash can outside by your garage, which is even closer than the house. What I said at the moment to the woman as I walked over to pick up the trash she dropped out, I said, "Oh, I'll get that for you." I don't know that she heard me. I didn't stop to lecture her. But for Christ's sake, or for Satan's sake, just to be fair, what the hell is wrong with you? You're that close to home, and like, I just can't hold on to this piece of crumpled up napkin any longer. I have to drop it in the street. You know, we used to have a term for people like that. Back in the 70s, it was big. Litter bug. Now, I don't know how big the phrase is now. How big the term is now. I don't know how often it's used. But litter bug. I guess, back in those days, it was even worse, that kind of thing. It still happens today. It was even worse back then, where it was just common. You pick something up at the fast food restaurant, you're eating in your car, and when you're done with it, you crumple everything up and throw it out the window. Because the world is my garbage can. America! I was at a gas station once. And I was going in to pay for the pump or whatever. And there was a car with a couple of teenage girls in it, or maybe early 20s, who can tell these days. And they're at the pump, and the one gal was got in there, and she was taking, she had a cup with her with one of those straws with the paper sleeve on the straw, you tear that off, and she gets in her car, she takes the straw out of its little protector thing there, and she crumples that up and she throws it out the window onto the ground, and I'm standing right there, and I walked right over and said, "I'll get that for you." This I said to her, and she said, "Oh, I'm sorry," and I picked it up and I threw it in the trash that was just 2 feet away from her. I didn't stand and lecture her, saying, "The trash is right there." People, I tell you. I've been saying often lately, human beings are very smart. People are dumb. I don't know. Okay. Well, if you followed me at all on Facebook, my personal Facebook page, there is a Dimland Radio page. If you haven't already, please go over and give it a like maybe, and follow. It's not as active as I should have it be. It does let you know if there's going to be a show or not going to be a show. It does. I do that, but once in a while I post something that I think is interesting in a skeptical realm. That's kind of what I use Dimland Radio for. I don't put political stuff up there. I'll put skeptical stuff up there. I don't know. Maybe I put something political up there once. Usually I leave that for my personal site. If you are a friend of mine on Facebook, personal friend of mine, you know, not the Dimland page, you probably know about this story that I'm going to tell. And this is the, I'll call it the Edna and the Great Grape Close Call. Or, Reason 23 Why You Might Blow Through $3,000 in 4 days. Yeah. It all started. I tried to get this in the first segment, but, well, we'll see how I do. It all started a couple Mondays ago. My wife and I work together, and we bring our dog with us. Our dog is, her name is Edna. Edna is she's a little more than 2.5 years old. We will have had her in our family 2 years come June 5th. Astrologers, put your charts away. And she'll turn 3 in October. Again, put those charts away. So she's a Japanese chin. She's a purebred. We got her through a rescue program. There's no way we would have been able to afford it through a breeder. But through the rescue program, we were able to get her. And she's a Japanese chin is a very small dog. She's at adult stage now. And I don't think she even weighs 8 pounds. She's this tiny little thing, adorable, and we just love her. It's incredible how attached I am to her, and my wife is to her as well. So we bring her into work with us, and it was a couple of Mondays ago. Amy was having lunch, and in her lunch, she brought some grapes. Amy's section at work is now in the main office. It used to be on the second floor, but we shut that down and brought her down into the main office. There's a loft area in the main office where she's up in the loft. She's just right above me up there. So we're working in the office together. And end this up there with her. And Amy's eating some grapes. And she'd bite one grape in half and she'd give it to Edna. And she did that maybe 3 times, maybe 4 times. We're not exactly certain how many times she did it before she thought to herself, wait a second, are grapes okay for dogs? Grapes are not okay for dogs. She saw that immediately. She's felt a bit of guilt about this, but I reminded her several times after that, saying, yeah, shouldn't have fed her grapes, but I didn't know. And I don't know if I would have, I don't think I would have thought to look it up. And I said, thankfully you did. Because, well, we found out that grapes have some naturally occurring chemical in them that does not go well with dogs. It affects their kidneys. Some types of grapes are worse than others. Some dogs handle it better than others. But again, end up being so small. You know, we figure she had like a grape and a half at most. that's going to be dangerous. And I reminded Amy, if you hadn't looked up whether grapes are good or bad for dogs, we would have lost our dog. Because what can happen is the chemical in there, or we could have lost our dog, the chemical in there can attack their kidneys and cause kidney failure. And that can happen within 24 to 48 hours or something before you start seeing anything wrong with the dog. It takes 24 to 48 hours before you start noticing anything. And by then, in a lot of cases, it's too late. And I don't want to even think about that, you know, that aspect of it. So Amy calls the vet. The vet says get her to a hospital. We get her to the hospital as quickly as we can. I mean, from ingesting the grapes to getting her to the hospital, an hour, maybe less, the time that it took. So we get her there. They take her in. The first thing they do is induce vomiting to get as much of the grapes out of her system as they can that way. And so then they bring us back, and we meet with the vet, and the vet says, well, that's what we've done. And she says, the next course is to hold her for 24 to 48 hours. She recommended 48 hours. And to start putting her on a course of IV fluids, just to flush her out. Just put the fluids into her so that she just pees and pees, just to get as much of that out, and let's see if that, you know, has any problems. They said they're going to do some blood work right away, and the doctor said, I don't expect to see anything in the blood work that indicates there's a problem because it's so quick, so soon after she ate the grapes. But it'll give us a baseline to look at, to compare to, when we check again in 24 hours and check again in 48 hours. So, okay, so that was Monday. So Monday night without the dog, Tuesday night without the dog. Throughout that time, we were, you know, they said, you can contact us, we'll text you, you can call anytime you want just to get updates and all that. So Amy had called a couple of times, and we had gotten texts saying that Edna's doing well, that she's eating, and she's getting the fluids, and she's resting. So everything's going, you know, so far so good, is what we were hearing. The blood test results the next day, doctor called Amy and said, there's a little elevation in the thing that we're looking at, but it's still within normal range, so we're just going to keep on course. So, okay. So the next day, the 48-hour blood test checked out, still it's good, we can take her home. So Amy gets called, the doctor does say, if you want to be extra safe, we could keep her for another 24 hours. Otherwise, you can take her home. Be sure to follow up with your veterinarian. Be sure to follow up with your vet, which Amy had already set up an appointment for that Friday. So we said, great. So this is Wednesday. We head there after work, and we get our little Edna. And take her out, you know, take her outside, got her on her leash, take her outside, and she walks right across the parking lot to the area where they walk the dogs, a little grass area, and she does a few poops that become more and more liquidy as she has them. She did like three or four times. I hope you're not eating. And, you know, okay, and then that third or fourth poop got a little bit on her, so I knew I was going to have to give her a bath as soon as we got home, which is what I did. And she reacted after her bath the way she always does. She just, you know, she's shaking it out, you know, and she gets on the couch and she starts to, she puts her head into the cushions and she starts to dig at the couch with her front paws and gets all excited, and that's what she does. And so it's, oh, great, she's back. It's wonderful. All right. All right. So this is, I don't know, that's 5 o'clock or so in the evening. And then, sorry for that tap. A bit later, I tapped the box that this microphone's sitting on. Sorry. About 7 o'clock, 7:30, Amy's pretty good at spotting this. She's watching. She's keeping an eye on the dog. We were sent home with the instructions to, you know, things to look for. If we start seeing this happen, we need to call the hospital. And some of the things to look for include vomiting, diarrhea, lethargy, pain, or discomfort. And I think there was a couple other things on there, but that's stuff to be looking for. Amy's pretty good at spotting this kind of thing. She says she's going to throw up. And we got a puppy pad under her, and yes, indeed, she threw up. The dog did, not Amy. And it's, okay, well, that's one of them. I said to Amy, that's one of the signs. And I'm starting to get very nervous, very worried, almost panicky. Trying to keep calm on the exterior so that I don't panic the dog, but I'm getting a bit. And Amy's trying to keep me calm, and she says, she's just had a stressful couple of days. It's just working itself out now. So, you know, But I said, but honey, it's one of the things on the list. It's a stressful couple of days. Work yourself out. Let's try to relax. Try to be calm. Because Amy kept her cool through this, even though she said later she was very worried. But she kept her cool. Well, and it vomits a second time, maybe a third time, and I said, it's about 7:30 at night, and I said, we've got to call the hospital. Please call the hospital. I didn't want to do it because I think I was on too much on the verge of panic, and Amy was seeming much more calm, so she said, okay. So she calls the hospital, she tells what's going on, they check the chart, and the person says to her, they talk to the doctor, and they say, she's had a stressful couple of days. And it's just kind of working itself out. Keep monitor for 12 hours. If it gets worse over the next 12 hours, give us a call. You can bring her in if you want, but we think it's better just to monitor. Keep your appointment with your vet that you got on Friday. So I got the phone, and Amy says, see, now just try to be calm. Okay, dear. Then Edna was having trouble getting comfortable. She'd lay down for a few seconds and get up and move around, and lay down for a few seconds and get up and move around. And it's just like watching her do this. And I said, well, she's not very comfortable. And I said, that's okay. And then she needed to go outside. And Edna's not like the other dog I had experience with in my adult life, which was our dog Quigley that Amy and I had years ago. When Quigley needed to go outside, he'd let you know, I need to go outside. As you get up to get him outside, he'd go to the back door of the house. He'd stand by the door and wait to, be ready to go outside. When Edna needs to go outside, she lets you know. There's a way she lets you know. She'll get off the couch and sit down at your feet and look at you, and then she might get up on her hind legs and then wave her front paws in sort of a begging motion. She's trying to let you know. So they get up from the couch to take her outside. Instead of going to the door, she just jumps back up on the couch and wants her belly rubbed. But we know she wants to go outside because we've had her for almost 2 years. We know her patterns here. So, then we pick her up and then we take her out. And it's like, then she's at the door. It's like, yeah, I need to go outside. But not this night. This night she gets up and does the thing. I need to go outside. She's sitting on, looking up at the couch. And Amy was the one that was going to be taking her out that night. I was still too beside myself. So when Amy would stand up from the couch, Edna would run to the back door and wait. Yes, I need to go out. And out they went, come back in. Amy says, oh, well, she's got diarrhea. Diarrhea? That's another thing. She's vomiting. She can't keep comfortable. She's got diarrhea. And I'm just, honey. She said, remember they said? Stressful couple of days. It's working itself out. Remember? I said that too. I said, I know. Well, another bout of diarrhea happened, or two, and the vomiting started to work itself out because she just was empty by that point. Again, I hope you're not eating. Finally, it's like 10 o'clock, 10:30, and I said to Amy, please call the hospital again. And she did. And she talked to them, told them what's going on. They checked things, they talked to the doctor, and they get back on, and they say, it's been a stressful couple of days. It's just kind of working itself out. Keep an eye on her. Bring her to a vet on the vet appointment on Friday. They did say, you can bring her in if you want. It was after their accepting hours. I guess they shut down at 10 o'clock for accepting in new patients. Which, what kind of hospital does that? But if they run out of room, they run out of room. Anyway, since we're after accepting hours. However, the doctor did say, if you want to bring her in, you can. Just call ahead. All right. So Amy gets up, I heard this. I don't know if Amy had it on speaker or if I could just overhear from her phone. So that's twice now that we called in. And in fact, part of my trying to calm myself down was to say this over and over. I said it a few times through the evening. We called the hospital twice. Neither time did they say, get her in here now. They said, keep an eye on her. Keep that appointment with the vet. That's what they said, in the stress thing. So, and I told Amy, I'm sorry if I keep repeating this because I'm trying to get it into my head. I'm trying to not panic. So we got through the night. I went to bed. Amy stayed up with Edna through most of the night. There were a few more diarrhea, moments. Next day, I went to work. Amy stayed home with the dog. And she gave me a call at some point or texted me saying, she called the vet. And the vet told her what kind of food to feed her and said, we can get her in today at whatever time. So we got her in at that time. The vet checked her out. All the vitals looked good. There was a couple things they wanted to do, like give her some anti-nausea medicine, put some probiotics in her food, give her some bland food. They sold us 7 cans of this bland food. And I should have said, look, just give us 1 can. There's no way she's going to eat all that. She hasn't even eaten half of what was in that 1 can. So, and these are big cans. They're like soup cans, not those little dinky little cat food cans, you know. Or, you know, she doesn't eat like other dogs. You put food in her bowl, she doesn't just gobble it up right away. That's how other dogs, or most dogs, eat. She gets to it when she gets to it. She was bred, Amy found out when we were looking into Japanese chins, that breed was bred to be a little bit more like cats. And in that way, she's more like a cat. Because a cat will say, I'll eat when I get to it. And so, you know. she's a grazer, as the vet said. So anyway, they did a blood draw to do some testing, and they did some other stuff with her, and they said, yeah, it's just the stress of the last few days. Also, with all that the IV fluid going through her, that can cause diarrhea afterwards. So keep her on the bland food until her poops start to solidify, then transition her back to her regular diet, which is where we're at. So Edna is okay. She's back to baseline, where she was before. The Friday, when we would have had the appointment, we got a call from the vet with the results of the blood work, and she's good. Everything's good. Everything's fine. We're past it. Yes, we should have checked on Graves before. And yes, we should have had a list of all the foods and things that dogs can't eat. And we do have that list now. And we are, you know, it's just, one thing I'll say, when Amy called our vet, just after finding out that the dog should not have had grapes, we were told this at our appointment with our vet, the follow-up appointment. The receptionist, who had talked to Amy on the phone, she said, yeah, I could hear you as we were hanging up. I could hear Amy saying, we gotta go. And then that receptionist assistant said to the veterinarian that was on duty, who knows us, who knows our dog, said to them that you know, what had happened and all that, and that we were going to get her to the hospital. And the doctor said, oh, yeah, they're good parents. They'll get her to the hospital. So I like to think that we're gooder parents. We should have been gooder parents and not, you know, fed her grapes in the first place. And I've been finding when I tell people this story, it seems like half the people know that grapes are terrible, and half the people said, oh, I didn't know that. So no grapes, no raisins, no grape juice, no grape jam, no grape jelly. If it's got grapes in it, yeah. I mean, if it's completely artificial, maybe. But I even then, you know. So we did have raisins in the house, that one in the trash, and we did have the rest of the grapes, went in the trash. Well, we can just keep them. No, in the trash. When I think it was Thursday, I took Edna out for a walk, brought her to work, took her out for a walk, and one of the areas that we go to, there was a green grape, laying on the ground. In the little area that we walk in, I saw that grape, and I walked right by it. I picked up that grape, and I threw it away, saying, you get away from my dog! So, and it's interesting, the idea that she's back to baseline, you know, she's active again, her poops are more like they usually are. Again, I hope you're not eating. And she's, you know, and I'm back to baseline, where now she gets annoys me sometimes when she has to go for a walk. You know, for a moment there, I would have given anything just to take her for a walk, because I thought, I don't want to, you know, it was close, because if Amy had not looked up the grape thing, we would have noticed in a day or two that Edna's not well. And if we would have brought her into the vet, and the vet would say, did she have grapes or something? You know, and her kidneys are shutting. I don't even want to think about it. But the one thing I want to think about of that is that It's the same just about anywhere we take her. To the vet, to the hospital, places we take her. We just keep... she's so adorable. Everybody tells... I got a text message from one of the doctors talking, you know, just giving me the update that she's doing fine, she's resting, she's eating, she's getting plenty of fluids. She's so cute. We were told by one of the assistants at the hospital when they came out to bring us back to the doctor, you know, to meet with the doctor. He says, everybody back there is loving on her. She's so adorable. It's just, you know, it's nice to hear, because she is. She's just an adorable, cute little thing. I'll have to remember to put a picture up on the show notes page. You can get to the show notes page by going to dimland.com. Click on the show notes /blog option. You can get to the show notes page. You'll get there. And it's, oh my goodness. And yes, it was $3,000 to make sure she didn't die. Well, I went a little long in my front section, but, you know, the litter bug thing, I had to say something about that. So, I'm going to take my first break. You're listening to Dimland Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I will return after this break.
You know, if I can maneuver into a tight parking spot at the mall, I'm pretty much sexually satisfied. And I've been to the mall twice today already.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
The Earth is only 6,000 years old. That's what Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum say, and how can a museum be wrong?
Isn't Dr. Oz just wonderful? I love today's episode. It didn't talk down to his adoring audience of women at all.
Science has proved that the subatomic quantum realm is as real as it is counterintuitive and bizarre. Therefore, I can use it to support quantum healing and quantum consciousness. After all, how can journals like Aquarius Metaphysics be wrong?
Evolution is just a series. After all, if we came from monkeys, then why are there still monkeys?
We all have friends and family who believe these things and much more. Well, if you're a rational thinker who is tired of arguing on social media and never getting anywhere, we have a solution for you.
Join the Guerrilla Skepticism on Wikipedia team, and we will teach you how to add reliable scientific and skeptical information to the world's number one source of information, Wikipedia.
We write new articles and improve existing ones. We remove pseudoscience, paranormal, and alt-med claims, substituting the actual facts. And we operate in many languages.
We've already reached tens of millions of people searching for information, but as you can imagine, we can never do enough.
So please, join us. All you need is a PC and the desire to help educate the planet. In fact, you'll be educating the world while you sleep.
Contact us at gsowteam@gmail.com.
Guerrilla Skepticism. The time is now.
Music by PurplePlanet.com.
Remember, there's no hugging in the chat room. You're listening to Dimland Radio on ZTalk Radio Network.
ZTalk Radio is committed to bringing you the best radio possible. We will test your senses with innovative and entertaining radio programming. Honest, informative, inspirational, and on occasion, controversial. Our listening audience will also have the opportunity to interact with the show hosts and guests through live chat and call-in capabilities. You can't be left out of the loop. Tune into all our live shows once, and you'll never turn your computer off again. ZTalk Radio on your computer dial. Your healthy addiction.
And welcome back to Dimland Radio here on the Z-Talk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons. Okay, you know that in that ad break, I play an ad for the Gorilla Skeptics on Wikipedia, and I really like that ad because, I like what they do. They make sure that the facts are on Wikipedia. In the articles on there, they fact check and they update, they edit and update and make sure that the facts are there, that the truth, the actual truth, is on Wikipedia. That's an admirable thing to be doing. They bring that skepticism to it. And then Bob Novella from the Skeptics Guide to the Universe people, he's in there too. He's the one talking about quantum physics. He's in there. And I liked it because of that. And I really like it because it's almost a minute and 40 seconds. So that gives me even more time to just sit here and not talk. Yeah, because that's why I do the show. So I can have time to not talk. Right? No, that's not why I do it. I do it because I like talking to myself. I like the sound of my own voice. So, how should I start this next segment? I'm gonna read this little thing here for you. I'm gonna read this. I've got a couple things I'm gonna read, but all right, you ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, if you're Catholic, usually ends there. If you're Protestant, it continues on with, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever, bullshit. It's amen, but I say bullshit because I'm an atheist. I was raised a Catholic. I was a believer for more than half of my life thus far. But toward the last, those last 5 years of the more than half of my life, where I was a believer, I began to get a bit skeptical. I began to think, this doesn't really make any sense. And one of the things that helped lead me to be skeptical, and this is something Penn Jillette will often say, if you want to make someone an atheist, have them read the Bible. Because the Bible is so full of contradictions and weirdness and bullshit that people are going to say, what? That can't be. What? that doesn't make any sense. One of the early stories, or one of the things that set me more on this path toward realizing I'm an atheist, which is I just don't believe in God or any gods. I don't know that they don't exist, but come on. Anyway, I don't know, but I still don't believe. And you know, there's none. There ain't. Come on, you can't say 100%. I know, but there's no God. Anyway, one of the stories that just kind of made me think, what? And I think I've told this before. I don't know which of the Gospels has it, because there's four Gospels in there. There were other Gospels, but it was decided by human beings that these Word of God could be edited, could be left out. That's not canon. We're going to just keep that out of here. Really? This is the Word of God. I know, but this isn't. Well, how do you know? Because we didn't put it in the Bible. And the Bible tells us that the Word of God is true because it's in the Bible. Well, that's circular reasoning. I know. Faith doesn't make any sense, okay? Why people think it's a virtue, I don't know. Anyway, there's a story in one of the Gospels. Jesus is hungry. He's hanging out with his buds. He's hungry, spots a fig tree, goes on over to that fig tree, says, ooh, I'll get some of the figs off of this tree, and there's none on it, because the tree's out of season. You know, for to everything, there's a season. Turn, you know. So it's out of season. And his buds tell him that. You know, Jesus, there's not going to be any figs on there, because it's not the time of year where there would be figs on it. And he says, well, I don't care. I'm hungry now. God damn you, tree. You will never bear fruit, ever. He cursed the tree. I read that as a, what the hell? Gee whiz, Jesus. What am I supposed to get out of that? Jesus is a jerk? I don't know. He's human, I guess. I that seems unreasonable. You're Jesus. Just make it have fruit on it. You did the loaves and fishes thing. I mean, I don't know which happened first, the loaves and fishes or the cursing of the tree. I don't know. But he had the power to feed a multitude of people with, like, five loaves of bread and two fishes or whatever they called it, whatever it was. He managed to feed them all. Well, make the tree make... it's just... See, it's that inconsistency thing that put a little bug in my head. And I think that was a little bit of what, you know, eventually led to my atheism. Now, I wish, Christians, now I'm not trying to get you not to believe. I'm not. But I wish they'd give it a little more thought on some of these stories and some of these things. Now, why did I read the Lord's Prayer? I mean, this is the Lord's Prayer. He wrote it. Jesus wrote it down. He handed it out to his 12 buddies, and he said he had it laminated. Here, look, it's laminated. Hold on to this. Don't lose it, because I wrote this. I want you to say this prayer. This is my prayer. This is the prayer that you say. This is the one. This is the biggie. I don't want you having a prayer to my mom, which they do, the rosary, and you don't pray to anybody else. It's like you pray to God through me, but this is the one, okay? Like, it's like, you know, it's all, you put it in your wallet. Don't lose it. Oh, but apparently Peter's version of it was a little different, because it was an earlier draft where instead of saying, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, it was forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It didn't feel right to him, so he rewrote the line with the trespass thing. And, you know, and so I think Peter got an earlier draft, and so that's why some... You know, like Lutherans will say, the debt thing. So anyway, okay, so hands them out. Don't lose it. This is my prayer. This is the one. I saw a picture on social media, and I think it's real. I'll put it on the show notes page so you can take a look. I think it's legit. I don't think it's like a guy walking away from the camera with on the back of his shirt just, you know, just blank black, and somebody took Photoshop and put in the words on there. But I think it's actually a screen printed image on the back of the shirt. Look, I work in screen printing. It looks right. It looks like it follows the folds. It looks right. And it's a picture of a guy that's probably in his 40s or 50s. He looks like he's walking through the hallway in a school. There's a kid, like a teenager, walking ahead of him that you can see in there. And, you know, the guy's got a trucker's hat on. That kind of has the mesh in the back, and it's black, and he's wearing a black shirt and black jeans, and I don't know if he had boots on or something. I can't remember. But and he's a white dude, and I can see a little bit of a tattoo on his forearm. At first, it kind of looks like a cross, but if you look at it closer, you can see that it's not a cross. But he should look into what, I think it's either Leviticus or Deuteronomy, what they say about getting tattoos or marking your body. You shouldn't do it. But anyway, what it says, what's printed on the back of his shirt is, God forgives, I don't. I mean, I don't. He forgot the apostrophe and the word don't. I mean, you know, strike one against your pal. But it's, God forgives, I don't. This is why I read the Lord's Prayer at the beginning of this segment. This is why. Because he seems to have forgotten the part that says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus' prayer, the one he wrote, the one he gave to all his buddies and said, don't lose this, the one he took so much care, except with the misprinted one for Peter, the one he took so much care to make sure that this was handed down, that everybody says this, this numbnuts forgets the line about forgiving others. God forgives, I don't. It's the a la carte Christian thing. Like, from this atheist assessment, that's all Christians. They're all a la carte. They all pick and choose. It's like, they, well, you know, like, You know, some would be very much against the idea of tattooing. Because the Bible says, don't do it. But some might interpret it as, well, it says, don't cut yourself. Don't, you know, it's interpretation. Which is another reason why I'm an atheist. It's the Word of God. You think God could be more clear? Everything's interpretation. Like I said before, they had a meeting, I don't know when it was, a long time ago. Some emperor or whatever had a meeting about the Bible. The church had a meeting and decided, okay, which books are canon, which ones aren't. Which of the Word of God can we edit out of this book? You know, I would think at the time, maybe we should go through each story and make it consistent, like go through the four Gospels that we're putting in the Bible and make them consistent? Because I don't know what order the Gospels are in the book. You know, who's, you know, John, Luke, and whatever, the other two guys who wrote Gospels that are in the Bible. I can't remember. Mark and, I don't know, Jesse, whatever. The four Gospels, and I think they appear in the Bible at the time, in the order that they were written. You know, it's just that, you know, and so the farther away from the events of Jesus' life, if Jesus even existed, which he wasn't white, we know that, and he was Jewish. You know, Jesus was a Jew, and he wasn't white, which bothers a lot of Christians these days. It does. The miracles that Jesus performed get more miraculous as the stories get farther away from when he may have existed, when he may have been alive. It might be based on some person or a group of people or something, but I don't know. It's a long time ago. And remember, the guys who wrote that, the men who wrote those stories in the Bible, didn't know what happened to the sun when it went down at night. God did. You'd think God would have written that into the Bible. You know, that's something that an atheist would... If you had something like that in the Bible, unambiguous language in the Bible saying things like, kangaroos come from Australia. You know, the sun, the earth orbits, it rotates on its axis and as it orbits around the sun. And so as the earth turns away from the sun, it looks like the sun is going down. The face of the earth that faces the sun turns toward, you know, the sun, it looks like it's coming up in the morning. Yeah, but they didn't know that then. So of course it's not included in the Bible. Because the Bible didn't know it then. Because, I don't know, I guess God didn't know it then. Let me tell you. So and when I saw that image, I just thought, I don't know if I'd have said anything to the guy if I was there, but it's, you know, just, you know what it says on the back of your shirt? Yeah, it says, God forgives, I don't. You mean that? Yeah. Do you know the Lord's Prayer? Of course I do. Pay attention to the trespass part, because you're not living up to it on the back of your shirt. Well, you know I'm a sinner, and you know I try. Whatever. Christians. There is... I should have gotten her name. Here I thought the one type of Christian that I could admire is Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter is the one kind of Christian that I can admire because he did works. He lived it. You know, he wasn't judging people. He wasn't telling people, you have to be this. You can't do that. He wasn't that. He wasn't... that wasn't the kind of Christian he was. He was the kind of Christian that lived the values that Christians say they do, or say that the values that there are. And he actually, you know, he built houses for people. You know, he was an honorable man. If all Christians were like him, things would be better. But they're not. And so here I thought he was the one type of Christian I can admire. I found another kind. I don't know her name.
I didn't write it down. I wasn't planning on talking about it, but as long as I'm talking about Christian stuff, there's a gal out there, and I looked it up. It's true. I saw a meme on Facebook, and I looked it up and found out it's true. There's a gal out there who has an OnlyFans site in which she performs, you know, she does porn. And she says it's her calling. She says it's part of God's plan for her to do porn. So what do you know? I found another Christian I can admire. You know what else I can admire? God damn, what time is it? Whew. I can admire taking my second break. You're listening to Dimland Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. Boy, I don't know how much I'll be able to cram into this last segment, but let's find out. I'll be back after this break.
Station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
Do you believe in ghosts? Do you think Bigfoot is real? Do you suspect that your neighbor is really Val Tor, leader of the lizard people of Bendar 3? Well, Dr. Dim doesn't, and he'll tell you why when you tune in to Dimland Radio Saturday nights, 11 Central, midnight Eastern on ZTalk Radio Network. It's an hour of science promotion, pop culture rants, personal observation, and of course, skepticism. Join Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons, Saturday nights, 11 Central, midnight Eastern for Dimland Radio on ZTalk Radio Network. Don't just take my word for it, but you are listening to Dimland Radio on ZTalk Radio Network.
Well, I'll be hornswoggled.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
You don't say. Oh, what, you think you went off to college or something?
On ZTalk Radio.
Amazing thing since Grandma survived the outhouse incident.
Welcome back to Dimland Radio here in the ZTalk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons. You may have noticed a little glitch in that break there. I hit a button that put me off the air. So that means I'm going to have to do an edit. Anyway, but not, but only in the break, and the glitch will be in the break, so what are you going to do? Anyway, let's see. What was I talking about? Oh, let's see. Okay, back to being an old man yelling at clouds. And actually, and again, I think you can be in agreement with me. I think you'll find this something you can agree with, and I'm not being unreasonable. But maybe, it's something that I've been noticing, and I'm not the only one who's noticed this. A friend of mine has made a comment on this, and I agreed with him. Now, this is appearances. It may not be empirically true. It may just be something that we seem to be noticing, that we're noticing that seems to be happening more often. And maybe it's just observer bias or something, or just frequency bias or something. It's that it seems that lately the idea of a red light is. Stopping for a red light is optional in the first 2 or 3 seconds of the red light. And I don't mean it's yellow, you're going into the intersection, it turns red, and you go through. I don't mean that. Or, yeah, I don't mean that. I mean, that happens. I've done it. And I can't say that I've never run a red light. Sometimes I've spaced it, and luckily nothing happened. But, you know, it's, you know, I do be very careful. So that's the times that's happened. Well, or like it's almost happened, but Amy was there saying, Jim, stop! That kind of thing. And, what? Oh, yeah. Or she says, are you going to stop? Oh, yeah, yeah, I got to stop. No, no, it's exceedingly rare. But I'm human, right? But it seems like now, and there's, I have in mind, a couple intersections that I encounter each day when we go back and forth from work that I specifically make sure to pay attention at, not that I don't pay attention at the other ones, but I mean specifically to, if it's green, you know, if it's a red light and I approach it and I stop, which I do, and if it turns green, when it turns green, I don't go right away. This is what my friend says. Never go right away on a green light. Always wait just a moment, because it seems like more often than not, or it seems like more often or more frequently it's happening, somebody runs through that red light. Seems like it's been happening here in the Twin Cities. That's happening more. And I, like I said, I can think of two intersections. Boom. I can think of two of them where I do that. And not every time, and maybe not even a quarter of the time, but it does happen where, oh, there they go. The light's been red. It's red. I mean, I've had it happen where I'm going into the, it's yellow, and it turns red as I'm going through, and a person behind me that's been behind me a little bit farther than just right behind me, they're going through the red because it's red for them. If it's turning red just as I'm going into the intersection as it's yellow, and they're still going, it was red for them. Yeah, and they're back behind me more than a second or two behind me, or maybe a second. And that can be a long time. If you try this, listen to a song, right? And as soon as it starts, pause it. And you look and see, it's like you know what song is you're going to play, so you'll recognize it. But you'd just be surprised about how much of the song plays within that first second or two. Just try it. Check it out. So anyway. But it seems like the first two or three seconds is optional. The other day, I was walking Edna, and there's this wide open, there's wide intersection. It's very wide with a lot of traffic coming into downtown. And, you know, we're waiting to cross, and I can see the car coming, and I know the light is changing. I say, oh, it's yellow, it's going to go red, it's red, and that car's coming, and I look at him, he's going to go through, and zip, right on through he goes. And I said, nice red light run. Walk by the pedestrian who's coming across the other way, and as we go by each other, I said, I guess stopping's optional for the first 5 seconds of a red light. And he says, oh, tell me about it. And off he goes. You know, it's been happening. And I bring it up because just recently, and this doesn't exactly fit, I have to be honest, it doesn't exactly fit, but I'll put it on the show notes page so you can take a look. There was a pedestrian walking along on the sidewalk, coming up to an intersection. The light is green for one, for the cross street, for, as far as from the pedestrian's perspective. The light is green. Guy starts going through that green light and gets nailed by a car going through the red. The car going through the red is then, you know, thrown off toward the pedestrian, flipping, you know, comes up, its front end is up in the air, it's flipping over, and the pedestrian, it's going right at the pedestrian. That person was able, their reflexes were so good, they were able to stop, move back, and get out of the way of the car, because it, surely if they had just done that freeze, if they had just freeze in the moment, they'd have been hit by that car. It's incredible video, you know, caught by like traffic cam or something. Both cars involved were red. What if that says anything? No, yeah, it says coincidence. Okay, so I don't know. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed something like that? Where that first few seconds, first 2 or 3 seconds of a red light, people are just saying, ah, I'm going to go through it. And I've redoubled my efforts to not do anything like that. That's yellow. I probably could make it through. I'm going to stop anyway. And then the car in the lane next to me flies through the what turns into a red light, or the yellow as it turns red, flies right through. And maybe the car behind them goes through as well when it's red. So, am I an old man yelling at clouds? But again, this is appearances. I don't have empirical data. I don't know if it's happening more or not. It seems like I've been seeing it more frequently. Okay, I saw this meme, and it's pretty interesting, and I thought I would, I'm going to read this to you, and I'm going to read it two ways. The first way is effective, but the second way is the way it's supposed to be read. There's a picture of a microwave. And the text of the meme is this. Do you ever cook something in the microwave, but it's still really cold in the middle, and you just keep eating it instead of heating it longer, because life is pointless and entropy is unavoidable, and the universe is filled with callous and casual destruction? Pretty good. That's pretty good. And I've seen this shared a couple of times with this language in it. And I thought, it would be better. You know, the best way to read this would be to read it in a film director, documentarian, German fellow, Werner Herzog. I hope you know who Werner Herzog is. He has a reputation of being a bit nihilistic, or at least that's sort of the comedian's take on Werner Herzog, being a bit nihilistic. You know, life is pointless. That kind of thing. So I don't do many impressions, but this is one that I do, and I think for full effect, it needs to be read in Werner Herzog's voice. Do you ever cook something in the microwave and it's still really cold in the middle and you just keep eating it instead of heating it longer because life is pointless and entropy is unavoidable and the universe is filled with callous and casual destruction?
Good night, Herr Doctor.
Good night, Frau Blücher.
Well, I've come to the end of another show. I wonder if that edit I have to do will make it a little shorter than an hour. But hey, you know, what can you do? Listen, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Be skeptical. Let's see. The answer is never magic. And remember, this is Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons, and you've been listening to Dimland Radio and Z-Talk Radio Network. And I'm reminding you to sleep with the lights off. Whew. Bring it in. Whew.
You can check out my show notes at dimland.com. Just click on the blog option, and you can email your questions and comments to drdim@dimland.com. That's drdim@dimland.com. And the opening theme song, Ram, is by Theolius and is used with permission.
Has been a production of the Z-Talk Radio Network.
And now, a message to our competitors.
Thanks
for tuning us in.
My life, you're clever, Jimmy. It's certainly taken me in.
Well, I'm going to hell.